Now, I am joined by Labour candidate for the Dublin North West constituency, Andrew Montague. Andrew, good afternoon and welcome to Northside Today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Andrew, I suppose the very first question that I'm going to ask you is, why would anybody vote for you or for the Labour Party this time out?
Well, I suppose the interesting issues that are coming up on doors, the really important ones, are the basics: health, housing. We aren't able to put a roof over people's heads. People can't even get an appointment with their GP these days. So we're not getting the basics right. And our priority is to invest in those issues. And other parties are talking about how they're going to sort out health and housing, but also cut your taxes. We're saying that doesn't make sense. We can maybe look at tax cuts sometime in the future when we've got the basics right. But until we get those basics right, just let's focus on them.
Now, a lot of people, Andrew, will remember the last time that Labour were in government, and I don't need to remind you what the result of that was at the next election. What are you going to say to people like that and say, well, should we saw what Labour were like when they were in government the last time round, and you know, they went straight for the, if you'll pardon the pun, the low-hanging fruit, and those who could least afford the cuts were the ones on whom they were imposed.
Well, you'll remember the awful economic conditions we were in those days, and but when we came into government, the very first thing we did was to increase the minimum wage by €1, and we also removed the lowest paid workers from the tax net altogether. And at a time when we had very high unemployment, we made it attractive for people to get back into work. And we've seen how that paid off over the years. So we did stand by those who were most vulnerable. We also did our best to protect social welfare payments. I know that Leo Varadkar, as a minister in the time, wrote to Joan Burton and asked for a 20% across-the-board cut in all social welfare payments. And if the Labour Party hadn't been in government at that time, that's what would have happened, only for us. So, yes, there were definitely mistakes made, and there was things we should have done differently. And looking back, you learn from that. But we're in very different times now, and we have to make sure that we don't head back into those times, because when the next downturn comes, we have to be prepared for it. And I think we need to tackle issues like health and housing. And if you look at, say, housing, for example, when we came into power in 2011, the people were emigrating of the country. There was an abundance of empty houses across the country. That was the issue we were facing. So it was actually, in some ways, because the economy has grown, so has done so well, and more people are back in work and people are coming back into the country, that the housing issue took us all by surprise, in fairness.
Do you think, Andrew, that maybe, and this is anecdotally, and I mean, I can nearly predict what your answer is going to be, but do you think that Labour were, you know, sort of disproportionately punished for their time in government compared to the main party in power at the time?
Well, you can see the results that Fine Gael were able to stay in government, whereas our number of seats were decimated. But look, that's politics, and people were very annoyed, and we have to take that on the chin. And we have to learn those lessons and move on. And, you know, it's 4 years now since that general election, and we're coming with positive proposals to deal with the issues. Like housing, for example, I've just gone back to college for the last 3 years to study housing and planning. And it's such an important issue. I did that in the evenings of my own accord so that I'd be prepared for this election. And one of the things I'd like to do is to look at how we can deal with the hoarding of land, because there's a lot of very good sites that are sitting there while the landowners are just waiting to earn more money as the prices rise. So the Labour councillors on Dublin City Council, and including myself, we put together a proposal to tax those sites. And the government under Alan Kelly took up those proposals and introduced the vacant sites levy. But there's a number of loopholes in that that I'd like to see closed up so that we can bring that land back into use. Part of the reason why it's so expensive to build in Dublin is because land prices are expensive, whereas to build the equivalent house down the country, it's much cheaper. So if we were to bring those vacant sites back into use, we could reduce the cost of land and make it more affordable to build. And I think that would make a big difference to people.
Well, two things on that one, Andrew. Number one, as I understand it, the major, or the biggest owner of vacant land in Dublin is actually Dublin City Council. And number two, if you talk to Hugh Brennan from O'Coolan Housing, he will tell you that it doesn't cost any more to build a house in Dublin than anywhere else, because he has, and I'm sure you're familiar with it there in your own constituency in Ballymun, he has supplied housing there, and I think some of the houses are running at about €180,000. And these are turnkey, ready to go for people, and he has put them into it. So, I mean, I think you understand where I'm coming from on that. Dublin City Council are sitting on a lot of brown and green field sites.
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot of work with Hugh Brennan to try and bring forward those houses, and the prices a couple of years ago were 180,000, but their prices are going up now as wages are going up and costs are going up. So they're not building them for 180,000. But that's exactly the point. He's able to build them at that affordable price because he got the land for free. And so because land is so expensive, other people aren't able to get that. But yes, Dublin City Council has a lot of land that I would like to see developed. So, but we had, on the last council now for 5 years, we brought forward proposals on how to develop the land called the Lawrence Lands there on the Oscar Traynor Road. And for the first 3 years of the council, Sinn Féin and People Before Profit opposed the development there because they wanted it to be 100% social housing. Now, I live in Ballymun. I don't think 100% social housing is the right model. I think we need mix. You know, we need people on a variety of incomes living together rather than 100% social. So they blocked that development for 3 years. Then, in fairness, Sinn Féin changed their mind and said, OK, we'll go for a mixed model. And we made agreement on that and the proposals came through. And now we've a new council and Sinn Féin are voting against it again. So there's huge problems with councillors changing their mind and blocking proposed developments. And they're holding up what houses that should be developed there. It's a tragedy with so many people not being able to get their own homes. And there's land room enough for 600 or more houses there.
Andrew, what would mean issues and problems facing people in your community at the or in your constituency at the moment?
Yeah, well, obviously housing is the biggest one, and health is a huge issue. And in lots of ways, they're intertwined, because part of the problem with our health system is that it's very hard to attract staff because they're living abroad and they come back to Ireland and the rents are so high they can't afford it. So if we could tackle the housing issue, that would help with our health issue. But again, now we need to invest in health. And one of the big changes in recent years is that you can no longer make an appointment with your GP and go and see them that day. You might have to wait a week, 10 days, sometimes longer. And so people are bypassing their GP and going to accident emergency and clogging up our hospital systems because there isn't the capacity in the primary healthcare system with our GPs. So I'd like to see us train up more GPs and to expand the range of skills that they can implement, you know, to take pressure off our hospitals. I think that's one way we could deal with that. And the other thing for me is that when there's surplus income, it shouldn't be given away as a tax cut. Until we get a significant improving in our housing and our health, we need to be investing in more housing and in more health. The other big issue that comes up again and again is crime. And that's a very important issue. People need to be able to feel safe in their homes. And I've been working with the Gardaí here in Ballymun, and we've done significant work in trying to tackle the issue of crime. And I'd like to see those ideas spread into other communities. We've just won an award, the best public protection program in Europe, for the work that I've been doing in tackling crime. So I'd like to see those ideas spread further.
Andrew, on a kind of a side note, and this is a sort of a very general question, and any candidates that I am talking to at this time, I'm going to ask them this question. Do you think the election style and campaigning style, particularly around this election, it seems to have changed? Like, I'm sort of old enough to remember election times in the, we'll say, the 70s and the 80s, where it was, you know, the local candidate was really, really strong and featured in people's discussions. But this time round, we seem to be gone on this, like, American-style election earing, and the same as what happened recently. in the British election, where it was Boris Johnson v. Jeremy Corbyn and Joe Swinson was a kind of a sideshow. America, we have the Democrats versus the Republicans. This time round, it seems to be sort of Leo versus Micheál Martin and whoever can get the snappy soundbite out there. And that we've changed our style, or our, I'm not saying we've changed our style, but the style of electioneering and the campaign has changed.
Well, I think, in my experience knocking on doors, people want practical politicians. And in fact, they're veering away from Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. They're rejecting that and they're looking for alternatives. And they want people who've got practical experience, who've got good, solid ideas. And I've always been a politician who comes forward with practical ideas. Like, for example, I brought in the Dublin Bike Scheme in Dublin, and it's been a huge success. And it's just been withering on the vine since Shane Ross has taken over. It will cost €10 million to double the number of bikes in the Dublin Bike Scheme. I mean, when you consider the billions that we're paying on other transport projects, that's a pittance. And I'd also like to see other cycling initiatives, like we're subsidising people to the tune of up to €10,000 to buy an electric car. What about electric bikes? You know, people could cycle further, people cycle more frequently if they have electric bikes. Let's subsidise electric bikes. That would do wonders for our traffic and transport that people find so frustrating. Let's have one payment on your bus so that if you get on a bus, you can transfer to another bus or the Lewis and the Dart without having to pay twice. Let's have, you know, let people use their debit cards, you know, to pay their bus fare instead of having to have a special Leap card. They're kind of practical things that people like. They like practical suggestions that will make a difference to them, rather than highfalutin promises that vote for me and I'll sort out the health services. People understand that that's a really difficult project. But if you have specific proposals, like, say, train up more GPs, rather than saying vote for me and there'll be no more problems, nobody buys that. They want to hear your ideas. And, you know, I suppose as long as I've been interested in politics, back to Charlie Haughey and Gareth Fitzgerald, there's always been a focus on the main leaders. But that's not what I'm getting on the ground. People want something different. They want change and they want practical ideas.
Andrew, very interesting that you bring that point up, and it's a lovely segue into my next question. As you say, and like you, I remember the days of Haughey v. Gareth Fitzgerald, and I think we have three elections in the space of 18 months or something around that time.
Yeah.
But the question I want to put to you is, and you'd be in an ideal position knocking on doors every day for the last couple of weeks. Do you find that you are now dealing with a far more, I won't say intelligent, but tuned in and more, you know, articulate and know more about what's going on when it comes to political life in Ireland than we would have been, say, 30 years ago?
Well, what I find is that one of the strengths of Irish politics, and it's often denigrated, but one of the strengths of Irish politics is that I have to knock on literally thousands of doors in a whole different set of communities: Santry, Whitehall, Beaumont, Ballymun, Poppentry, Finglas, Glasnevin, Wadley. Everybody has different ideas, and you learn so much about life. You learn so much about what the issues are. You hear people's practical experience. Things like, you know, the number of parents I've come across with, say, autistic children that are very difficult that need a lot of help to manage their children, and they're just not getting those help. Like, I was talking to one man, and his son is a teenager, 14 or 15, very big and very strong, and, you know, needs a lot of physical help in dealing with his son. But people get trapped then. For example, he wants to get out and go to work. His son goes to daycare during the day. But if his father goes to work, he loses his supports. That's crazy. We should do everything we can to encourage people to work and to look after themselves. And they shouldn't be penalised for going to work. And I come across that time and time again, especially for people with disabilities. I had one young woman I was talking to, and she has a prosthetic leg. And it's very expensive to get the leg changed. It costs €20,000 or something in around that, and the HSE will pay for it. But if she gets a job, they'll stop paying for it. So she's kind of forced into not working. And this is crazy stuff. You know, we really need to do everything we can to get people back to work. So, yeah, what I find about knocking on doors is the lessons I learned, the life lessons. Just talking to people is just so valuable. And, you know, I think Irish politics is the better for it, because you can be in your ivory tower and, you know, in the political bubble and not realise what's going on in people's lives. But our election system forces us to go out there and talk to people. And I, for one, highly value that.
I'm going to ask you a very difficult question, Andrew. And, you know, I can almost hear the answer before I ask it. But Labour under Joan Burton, Labour under Brendan Howland, which one would Andrew Montague prefer?
Oh, I think different times, different necessities. I think Brendan was very brave in taking on the Labour Party at such a low ebb in our history, and all credit to him. And I think he's done a fine job. And Joan was there at a very difficult time. So each leader has their strengths and weaknesses, and I think that there's no one leader gets it all right. So no more than myself, I don't get everything right.
Based on that answer, did you ever think of taking up a career in politics, Andrew? Social media, how big a part is that playing in this general election?
It's hard to know, but it certainly seems to be important. I've seen, I'm certainly trying my best to use social media. It's not something that comes naturally to me. I prefer talking to people on the doors. That's something that I enjoy. But I am kind of, I suppose I take videos to get my ideas across. And like I noticed that when I do a video that maybe 1,000 people will have seen it, it takes me a long time to knock on 1,000 doors and talk to 1,000 people. So it has quite the impact. So it is an important way of getting your ideas across. And so it's something that, you know, you have to learn a whole new set of skills doing videos. And I have to say that my first few videos, I was pretty stilted in them and it was hard work, but you get better. And it's just another way of getting your ideas across. And I suppose we have to embrace it. But for me, the thing about that, it's a one-way thing. Whereas when I talk to people at the door, I'm hearing their ideas rather than me just telling everybody my ideas. I think it's very important that we actually talk to people. And a lot, then the other thing about social media is that it's so black and white. When you talk to somebody face to face, you know, conversations are much more nuanced, whereas people are very dogmatic on the internet. And this is a terrible idea, or instead of, well, I can see good points and bad points. And face to face, people would kind of look at some of the merits and downfalls of any idea, but on the social media it's just awful or brilliant, and there's no, very little in between, so it's not great for nuance, but it is valuable for getting ideas across and for a lot of people to get to see what it is that my ideas are.
Andrew, last question for you, because the clock has beaten us, and I think this is particularly relevant maybe for you, because there are parts of your constituency in Dublin Northwest which would be notoriously low turnout areas. Where are you on the possibility at some stage of bringing in what they have in Australia and other places, where it's a legal requirement that you vote?
Well, I can see the merit to that, but I don't think people would accept that. You can't force. I'd imagine it would require a constitutional referendum, and I couldn't see it passing. So I don't think people would like the idea of being forced to vote. But the downside is that more marginal communities with lower turnout, less attention is paid to them. It's a sad reality, but I know politicians say, well, there's no point knocking over there because they don't turn out. So they don't get to hear the issues. They don't get to hear the lived experience of people living in some of our more marginalised communities. Now, I live in Ballymun, and so I certainly know what it's like to live in my community, and I grew up in Santry, and then just from knocking on doors in every community, I get to hear their voices. So, it's a shame that communities do get left out because they don't engage with the political process.
One very, very final last one has just come to mind. What's your attitude and your opinion on the Saturday election as opposed to the normal Friday, Thursday or Friday election? What do you think of going with a Saturday election this time?
I think it's worth a go. I think we'll learn. We'll see what the turnout is compared to previous elections and see whether it was a better idea or a worse idea. It's always good to try something new. Because I think the more people that vote, as I say, especially in more marginalised communities, the more we will have to pay attention to their issues. And even young people, it's not just marginalised communities, young people don't often vote to the same level as older people. And so we see issues that affect young people are further down the list of political priorities. So if young people got out there and voted, I think more attention will be paid to their views.
Andrew, the best of luck with the remainder of the campaign and the best of luck on election 2020. And thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Much appreciated. Thanks for ringing me.
No problem at all. My pleasure. Now, that was Labour candidate in Dublin North West, Andrew Montague.